say the tongs that I received for Christmas. Because, you know what? You ever get a new tool around the grill for the Christmas gift? You're like, yeah, I can see how this is going to work. I hope you got one, because I did. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob, and you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking about getting you into the new year and maybe throwing a little tidbits on your barbecue.
Yeah,
to,
easy.
Feed your friends, right?
Hey, thanks, Mr. Producer Brian Fongers, the wizard of the big board, bringing us in with some bumper music from the Minnesota Madman Prince.
Right.
Love that. Who doesn't love that song? If you do, just hit us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys and tell us that you don't love it, and then we'll block you.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Anyway, we're talking about party foods and stuff, and before I go into the next stuff, like rumaki, which is something I was turned on to when I lived in Hawaii in the military, and it's chicken livers with pineapple and a little bacon wrapped around it and some water chestnut, which are like, you know, four of the main food groups. I want to talk about, you were talking about grilled jalapenos, and I was remembering a month ago, you and I went to Cinco de Mayo and had lunch, because I love Mexican food. And what they had, and we should go there again soon.
You hungry?
But I asked them, yes, I'm starving.
That's not on your diet, dude. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
So I asked for some jalapenos, and she said, do you want them grilled? And I said, sure. And what they did was they took the jalapeno lengthwise, and they held it by the stem, and they probably took a knife and just ran it down and then turned it a quarter turn, ran it down, and then they threw it on the grill and grilled it like that with the thing slotted open so that it would be, more like a four-fingered thing when you get done grilling it.
If they cut it three times, yeah.
Yep. They cut it twice.
Yep, one way and then the other way.
Yep.
Okay,
so you had four things on it, and they just rolled it over. And there's a term in the Spanish language or the Mexican culture when they grill a jalapeno, and it all I can remember is it sounded like cuca, but it's not cuca, obviously. It looks like it. But it's
how'd it taste?
It's fantastic. I'm just amazed with jalapenos because they have so many things that they have characteristics that come out depending on what you do with them. If you roast it, what's it called?
You caught me off guard.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
When you grill it, it's called like cuca or something like that. Yeah. When you pickle it, it's different. If you eat it fresh, it's there. I mean, that one pepper can have like 5 to 8 profiles based on what you do with it, time and temperature.
Right.
And it's peppers are just cool. I mean, they're so healthy for you.
Well, paprika is really a pepper.
It's a Hungarian pepper.
Right. It's a smoked pepper.
Smoked Hungarian pepper.
Right. Exactly.
And what did the Hungarians know about peppers? Well, that they were brought to Europe by who? I think it was Magellan.
The peppered merchant.
I think it was Magellan.
Right.
Anyway, you should know your history by now. anyway, let's talk about rumaki. Who, if you know,
are we struggling right now? Is that what we're doing?
If you know who brought peppers to Hungary, please email us at the Grilling Guys. Go to thegrillingguys.com if you want to reach out to me and Jop. You can catch us there. You can say contact Jop or contact Big Head Bob.
That's exactly right. So, what is rumaki, Bob?
It's cool. I'm going to say it's Japanese based on the spelling and the Japanese people that used to make it for me in Hawaii. But it's grilled chicken livers with bacon wrapped around them. You take a toothpick and you run it through this chicken liver with bacon wrapped around it, and you set it on top of a piece of pineapple. And then on the bottom, you have a water chestnut.
Little slice of one.
Yeah.
Like a quarter size.
And
right?
Then you just lay it on its side. You're going to totally trash out the toothpick.
Okay.
Okay? It's okay. But you grill that until the bacon's done, and then the chicken liver's done. And I know a chicken liver sounds really gross because they eat with their peckers. That's part of the
problem. Little interesting flavor, though, right?
Yeah. And then you put some Chinese sweet and sour on it. It's fantastic.
Wow. Cool. So I am the lover of a great Bloody Mary. I don't drink a lot of them. Sometimes they're too acidic. We've had our friends from Brutes on before, and Brute is the little chihuahua on the front of that Bloody Mary mix.
It's out of St. Joe, isn't it?
Yeah. No, Grand Rapids, actually.
Oh.
And, but there's, you know, you go to a variety of stores, and they'll have a big selection of Bloody Mary mixes. And
you never know which one to get.
You don't.
Because you're going to bring it home. It's a party.
Right.
You got people coming over. Because most of us don't buy Bloody Mary mix for ourselves. I mean, I don't. I it's typically like something is going to happen. Now, when you and I used to do our show across the street on the other network, when we got done with the show, we would run over to the Elbow Room.
Right.
This recipe on thegrillingguys.com is from the Elbow Room, and it's called The Perfect Bloody Mary.
Right.
You remember that bartender's name, the guy with the long white ponytail?
He had a white beard and he had a long white ponytail. Yeah. I don't.
Dude made a mean yeah. Bloody Mary. It was perfect.
Right. The thing I remember most is he always brought out the dill sauce.
Yep.
And that's like, it looks like a bottle of salad dressing.
Yes.
But it's a dill sauce. And it's thick. It's almost like a...
like a paste.
Yeah. And he squirts it on there, and it's a little bit, and he mixes it in, but...
a little horseradish.
Yeah.
Had some hot sauce.
Yeah.
The dill sauce.
Worcestershire.
Tomato juice. Worcestershire, and some hot sauce. Right. And
you mentioned the hot sauce twice because Bob likes some spicy.
Yeah. Well, I'm redundant.
Right.
And you might want some vodka in there.
Right. Yeah, a little bit of that. But he shakes them. And then he puts it in the glass, and it's just really good stuff.
Oh,
now the garnish
goodness.
Is the art.
Sometimes
of the
that
Bloody
can
Mary.
Be really cool. Now right. they're getting ridiculous with some of those too.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I don't need a salad. I don't want a giant. I know it makes for a great photo app, but I don't need to see a bunch of shrimp. And this thing's so big, I can't pull it up and take a tug on it.
Right. Yep. Or you need a foot and a half long straw to get through.
Right.
You know, we were over in. Leelanau, northwestern Michigan, up in Leelanau, and they put a smoked chub, which is a smoked fish, and it was maybe 8-10 inches long.
Jeez.
And they put a smoked fish
and again,
in your
perfect.
In your Bloody Mary. Yeah, I remembered it, right?
Yeah.
So but I've seen a lot of yeah.
I don't want to eat it really.
No.
I don't care for smoked chub.
Most don't.
You got to be a real geezer to like smoked chub cuz that thing went away years ago.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, we still all love our chubs, but we don't want to smoke them.
No.
So if you're a real man, a real Bloody Mary might work for you.
It's time for some man law. Now you're a man.
Man law, when toasting beers, you clank at the bottom. Cheers. Here's to you, man. Hear that? That's how you do it. The bottom of the bottle.
That's right. Don't be that guy that reaches over and takes the bottom of your bottle and taps the top of your buddy's bottle, and then it overflows. Serious waste of beer. And
that's a man.
You know
that's
what?
A it violation was, of man law.
Right.
Actually.
It was funny one time when you were like 21 12. Years old, but get over it, guys. Come on.
12 or whatever drinking. Time you had your first beer.
Yeah.
What was your age?
Right. Well, I got a great story about that because my folks had a trottage on a lake, and all my family was up and down the same side of the lake.
There
were
cool.
Literally like 9 cottages out of 12
gosh.
Were all related.
Wow.
Right on this one
Don't
little
piss
plate.
Any of the jappies
right,
off.
No, but and it was actually my mom's side of the family,
uh-huh.
the Haddons. But anyway, my point is this.
Hadn't been there.
When I was big enough, about 8, all my uncles and my dad worked at General Motors. Well, they'd come up there on Thursday night during the summers when school was out, and they'd all commute Friday back down to the General Motors. Well, when they come back, they're ready for a beer, just
yeah.
like we all are at
sure.
the end of a long week, right? And my dad
might even had a traveler
right,
on the
my
way
dad,
out.
My dad called me Dewey. Dewey, go get us a beer. And my dad kept – he had a kegerator back in the day. This is late 70s.
He was advanced.
Right. And I could carry 6 mugs in my little hands, right? in these plastic Michelob mugs. I remember what they were. Fill them all up. They all had froth over. Well, what I didn't know is I still had the foam on my face from where I was too. And I'd bring them back, and they'd all be like, "Dude, you've been drinking beer."
That's the best New Year's story I've ever heard.
Coming up next, we're going to reflect a little bit on the wonderful 2018 that the Grilling Guys had. Stick with us. We'll be back.